Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I'm your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley, and our producer is Matt Neely. In the studio with me today on this bright Monday is Giovanni Diaz, one of my buddies, and also my brother Bill. And on the line with us, we have Tyler Meyer, who is the executive director of the Poetry Center at the University of Arizona. Before we get to him, I just want to just remind you that tomorrow we have General Ted Maxwell. On Tuesday, he'll be here for the engagement hour. And on Wednesday, we have Grant Kruger. On Thursday, Tom Moulton will be here with Attractions in Tucson. And then I come back next Friday with business success stories. So Jump in Tucson is today's theme. The Monday theme is wonder at the University of Arizona. You know, there's been a lot of play lately on all the things going on at the U of A, and some of which are, you know, not that great. But Jump in Tucson celebrates the good things that are going on, the staff, the faculty, the students, the research, all the wonderful things. And one of those wonderful things, full of wonder, is the Poetry Center at the University of Arizona. And welcome, Tyler.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here, Ed. Thanks so much for letting me join you, and happy to be a part of Jump in Tucson today.
Great. Let's talk a little bit first about your journey, your own personal journey of how you got to become the executive director of the Poetry Center in the Helen Schaefer Building, and how you became that director, and a little bit about your background.
Sure. I pinch myself most days when I get to show up at work at the Poetry Center. It's a great gift, and it's an incredible place and a huge asset to the Tucson community and to the university community, and really to poetry in general. So I've been here for 11 years. I came from Ohio. I was previously working as an editor on a literary magazine that was published there called the Kenyon Review. And so my family was young and we were looking for a change. And so we thought, well, let's see what's out there. And the opportunity at the Poetry Center was one that was too good to pass up. And I'm just thrilled to have this opportunity. And again, most days I'm pinching myself saying, this is where I get to work and show up every day. It's a lovely and delightful place.
So tell us a little bit about the Poetry Center, its genesis, and how it came to be, and how it is such a powerful force, not only in poetry, but just in the arts and in expression all around the country, and even for that matter, around the world.
Yeah. So we started in 1960. We were the Poetry Center began with a gift from a supporter named Ruth Walgren Stefan, and she was wintering in Tucson, and she gave the university a cottage, a sort of small Tucson adobe cottage, and said, I'd like to start a poetry center and begin this with some of my books and have a library where people could experience poetry without intermediaries. That was her vision. And so from those humble beginnings, the Poetry Center has grown and grown and grown and grown. And so later we were able to secure a small endowment to begin to build the collection. We got a second space where we could host visiting poets, and our program kept developing. So fast forward to the 90s, we had moved a few times on campus as the campus had grown and as the city had grown. And there was a real groundswell of support for a permanent location for the Poetry Center. And so by the middle 2000s, we were able to break ground on what is now the Helen S. Schaefer Building, which is a 17,000 square foot facility dedicated to poetry, one of the largest of its kind in the country. And it houses now what is the largest standalone poetry collection in the United States, about 80,000 items in the Poetry Center's collection. We're still acquiring about 1,200 books a year. So we're a special collection that's open to the general public, and we want to be available to everyone who wants to come and make use of our space and our materials. And then there's a range of programs that we launch each year to help bring forward the life of the books. And so there's a visiting readers that come and present at the Poetry Center. There's a rich set of K-12 outreach programs. And then there's a really exciting series of collaborations that we do with different partners throughout Tucson, all designed to sort of enrich the life of Tucsonans and of university students.
It's fitting that the building that you're in is called the Helen S. Schaefer Building, and she was amazing, Dr. Schaefer. She was an amazing person, and her husband, of course, was pretty famous, I guess, around the U of A quarters. So, Dr. John Schaefer.
Yeah. Tremendous champions of arts and culture in Tucson, of the university's role in our city and in our region. And we continue to benefit from their support and their generosity and their care for these institutions, their vision in creating them. places like the Center for Creative Photography mm-hmm. and the Poetry Center.
Right. It was interesting back when President Schaefer was president, how the focus on the arts was so important, equally as important as the sciences and the human capital that the University of Arizona produces. It was amazing, especially for a land-grant university. It's interesting that the arts would receive that much attention. So that's a pretty powerful thing.
I agree. It really distinguishes what we do here, at a land-grant institution like the University of Arizona, to have these major collections. There just aren't other universities that harbor these kinds of cultural centers, like the Poetry Center or like the Center for Creative Photography, and broadly sort of an investment in arts and culture that happens here on this campus. And so we're thrilled for what we get to do every day at the Poetry Center and for how we imagine how we might be the best poetry center we might be today.
It is great how the arts has been elevated. There's even now a vice president of the arts that's working with the president's cabinet and so forth. Those were always relegated to deans and department heads or even lower than that. And there's been an associate vice president now of the arts. And I think that's an important advancement for all of the creative processes.
I agree. And I'm thrilled to work at an institution that cares about whether a nursing student or an engineering student has an experience with poetry.
Right.
That kind of investment is powerful and meaningful. And I think we have better graduates because of it. And I think we have a better city because of it.
Right, so. Right. And that's an important thing. We're obviously, the University of Arizona is smack dab right in the middle of the city of Tucson. The city has grown up around the university, and while the university has grown up, the city has grown up around it. When we come back after the break, I want to talk with you a little bit more about the impact of the Poetry Center just on the community itself of Tucson and some of the people that have come through the Poetry Center and gone on to great things, but also those 80,000 books and all the things that are on display there for people to go in and actually engage with that process. It's a resource here on campus that's right in the middle of Tucson that's pretty accessible and good for the community. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that. We are talking with Tyler Meyer. He's the executive director of the University of Arizona Poetry Center. That is also right smack dab in the middle of the University of Arizona. It's right kind of landmark right in the middle there. And we'll come back after the break and talk a little bit about how the Poetry Center serves the university and the Tucson community. And then we'll talk about an interesting signage project that is working its way through the University of Arizona. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. This is Ed Ackerley. You're listening on KVOI, 1030 AM, The Voice, Tucson's only live local news talk station. We'll be back after a few words from our fantastic sponsors. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Ed Ackerley. On this Monday morning, we're talking wonder at the University of Arizona, all the great things that happen with faculty, research, students, which is my passion, of course. Athletics, the arts, the science, all the things that happen at the University of Arizona that make the university such a vibrant, important part of our culture here in Tucson in southern Arizona. With us this morning is Tyler Meyer. He's the executive director of the UA Poetry Center. And we've been talking about how impactful the Poetry Center is, not only here in Tucson and southern Arizona, but its effect around the country and around the world. And Tyler, we were talking a little bit about the impact of the University of Arizona as a land-grant institution, of what that simply meant was back when the legislature, the federal legislature, Congress, granted land and facilities for universities, and the University of Arizona is the land-grant institution at the University of Arizona. In that... we have an initiative on campus to acknowledge the fact that there were people here in this community before a university was plopped down in the middle of Tucson and all the growth and all the stuff. So can you talk a little bit about the initiative of the Native Languages Sign Initiative on campus and how that it's come to the Helen Schaefer Building and the unveiling of the sign recently of recognizing that heritage?
Yeah, so this is a project at the university that began informally out of the linguistics department through Dr. Ofelia Zepeda, who's a Tohono O'odham linguist on campus, also a tremendous poet. And they would she would use temporary signage on buildings around the campus as a way of sort of celebrating and recognizing native languages from Arizona. And that project has been adopted more formally by the university now through the Native American Advancement and Tribal Engagement Office. And their project is to include that language in a permanent way on 22 buildings to recognize the 22 federally established tribes in Arizona, and to bring those languages onto campus buildings through this initiative. So the Poetry Center is the fourth building on campus to participate. The first was the communications building where linguistics is housed. They were the original. Old Main has had this as part of the project. The McHale Center is part of the project. And the Poetry Center now is the fourth one to participate. Our sign features the Quetzal language, the Fort Yuma Quetzal tribe, and it translates roughly the saying that's been installed on the Helen S. Schaefer building sign as, in the silence we listen. And we're thrilled to have that language on our space. We had a wonderful and beautiful dedication for that on Monday morning, with lots of people traveling from Yuma to be here with us to celebrate.
It was also kind of unique that the cloth, I guess you would call it, that was covering the sign, that was unveiling that sign, was a traditional native tapestry, I guess you would call it. It was pretty impressive and pretty unique to see something like that. And Dr. Schaefer, and you were there and opened up. So at the top of the sign, it in this language, this Quetzal language, it says what you said. And it's also translated, I think, too, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. We think a lot at the Poetry Center about, poetry is a contemplative art form. And so it is language based, of course, but there's also a lot of silence involved. And we appreciate that the saying that's included on our sign, encourages listening, which is a huge part of what we do at the Poetry Center, listening to others' language and to their voices and to their poetry. So we're really thrilled with this as a way to be better connected with, tribal partners in Arizona. We have a deep commitment to Indigenous poets and poetries, both through our reading series, but also in our collection, and partner often with the U of A Press and with other groups on campus and supporting Native voices and bringing them to Tucson for Tucson audiences. So we're really thrilled to be kind of doubling down on our values and our interests through our partnership with the university and with the tribe in this initiative.
Right. You know, poetry is such an interesting and unique form, art form, and expressive form. You know, I often go back to, I still say that Amanda Gorman, who did the poem at the Biden's inauguration, is in 20, 30 years is going to be noted as one of the great contributors in this space. She was amazing that day, and she continues to amaze as a young African-American poet. But I also have a personal experience with poetry, in the sense that the pastor of my church he was pastor for 38 years, his name is Monsignor Tom Cahillane, and he's from Ireland, but he's a noted poet and has published several books. And every Christmas, you know, you get a Christmas card with one of his poems on it. So he's been a prolific poet. And our former mayor, Jonathan Rothschild, is a poet, and he's a friend of mine, and he kind of dabbles in poetry and so forth. So it's amazing how many people use poetry as an expressive means. It's a powerful tool for lots of people.
Well, and we like to say, we experience more poems than we recognize. Maybe we haven't, not everyone picks up a poetry book and reads it, but but we say poems at times in our lives when it matters, when we're celebrating, when we're grieving, when there's been some great happiness or some great loss, some great achievement. Often a poem helps us say in language what may be difficult to say otherwise. And so I'm pleased you brought up Amanda Gorman. We owe her a big debt of gratitude. She kind of turned the whole country to poetry for, 48 hours in a way that was a great gift to the work that we do here at the Poetry Center.
I'm going to work with you to get her to Tucson to have her perform for the Poetry Center. That would be amazing.
I might need your help.
Yeah. We're talking with Tyler Meyer. He's the executive director of the UA Poetry Center. And tell us a little bit about, how can a listener go to the university? Where do they park, and how do they get to the Poetry Center, and are there any activities coming up that would be interesting for them to participate in, or just coming by and looking at the 80,000 documents that you have there?
Well, we like to call the Poetry Center a kind of national park for the imagination, because there's really no place like it. You can be in the presence of 7 million poems and, four walls, and they're all there. You could, experience each of them and touch them. They're all printed in books. We want to welcome everyone who wants to come visit the Poetry Center. We're open 9 to 5, Tuesday through Friday, and then 9 to 3, on Saturdays. And then we stay open late on Thursday nights when we have readings in our reading space. Parking's available on campus. There's a garage that's adjacent to the Poetry Center that you can pay to park there. Or if you take the streetcar, you can arrive for free, and no parking required, of course. Or biking is possible too. We want to again welcome everyone in to experience the collection. There's a range of activities you can do when you're here. So if you come in and say, "I don't know where to start," we have library staff that can help direct you. You can come in and say, "I'm having a dinner party, and our theme is spring. Do you have any poems about spring?" And we'll try to help you find something that will be exciting for you and guests. And so we really want to be a sort of full service literary center. And then you can learn about our calendar of events at our website, poetry.arizona.edu. And that has all the details for our programs for the community, for camp, on campus and off, for youth and for practicing poets. So.
And do you have tours, or do you have a group? I guess I was more looking at, do you bring in small groups to come in and experience the readings and experience, can they arrange something with you to come in as a small group?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. So, and we welcome people to give us a call in advance. We can set something up and make sure the tour meets the group's needs. Easy to get in touch with our front desk. It's 520-626-3765. And we would welcome visitors to come and learn about what we do and come spend some time with our books.
Okay. Anything else that you want to talk about that's coming up that would be meaningful for listeners to engage in the future?
One thing I'll just mention is people are driving through the Speedway corridor of campus. We have an exciting project right now with six murals that are
Yes,
going up.
beautiful, beautiful.
And they're all based on it's a partnership with a group called Alley Cat Murals. So six different muralists, all different distinct aesthetic styles, and they're working with poetry as the inspiration for those pieces. So we're really thrilled that those are happening. So keep your eye out. They're being finished this month in March. If you drive through Speedway, through the campus area, you'll see them on the walls that are kind of the retaining walls for the underneath passageways for the pedestrian paths under Speedway.
They were trying to paint them yesterday and a little bit this morning before the rain comes. I saw them out there. There was quite a bit of people out there painting yesterday. It was pretty amazing.
Were they? Everyone's trying to get them done before it gets too hot.
So poetry affects us all in some sense. So of course, the irony of I just have to tell you something funny. So I teach at the university in the Eller College, and people ask me what I teach, and I say students. But one of the assignments I give them is they have to read a chapter, then they have to present the chapter with a slide deck, and then they have to do something at the end. So it's kind of a I call it edutainment. It's a way for them to kind of solidify the concepts that they've been talking about. And by and large, about I would say 60% of the students end up doing a poem to articulate the ideas that they have. They can do anything they want to do, but quite a few of them end up, now of course sometimes it's a poem, sometimes it's a rap poem, and they'll be doing a rap or something like that. But it is interesting how many of the students have chosen to do poems over the years to kind of solidify their learning that they've learned from the chapter and the information that they're delivering. So it's kind of a cool activity. Well, Tyler, thank you so much for the good work you do at the Poetry Center and being there for 14 years and continuing to make that center available to the community. Look at them to come down and take a look at some of those 80,000 beautiful 700,000 poems that are there available for people. It's kind of like I said, we're going to be talking about gems here in just a minute. The Poetry Center is one of those hidden gems in campus that once you discover it, it's a pretty powerful thing. So thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. Thrilled to be here.
Great. This is the Wonder Series of Jump in Tucson. This is the celebrating the good things that are going on at the University of Arizona. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk. And we'll be back in just a minute with something that's out of this world. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Dr. Ed Ackerley. I have the good fortune of teaching at the University of Arizona. Over the last 3 decades, I teach in the Eller College, students in advertising, marketing, and creativity and leadership. I also teach over in the Social and Behavior Sciences College. And it's been just a fantastic, I used to teach in fine arts, and I have also taught over in the agriculture college. It's just been a wonderful experience to be around young people and the exciting things going on. And that's what Jump in Tucson on this Monday edition is about, the wonder that happens at the University of Arizona, the good things that are happening and all the things that are affecting mankind in the present and the past and now even into the future, and all the cool things that we can talk about. And I just think it's good that the community knows what's happening right in the middle of the town. So the next segment, we're going to talk about something that's out of this world. We're going to talk about the Alfie Norville Gem and Mineral Museum. And the director of that is Violetta Wolf. Good morning to you.
Ed, thanks for having me on Jump in Tucson.
Yeah, you're welcome. First, before we get talking about this out-of-world experience that we're going to be talking about, tell us a little bit about your journey through your own education and got you to become the director of the Gem and Mineral Museum at the University of Arizona.
Sure. So that's, I think, like most people who end up in museums, it's not where you think you're going to end up, but right. It's absolutely delightful to get to spend a whole career sharing interesting things with the public and sparking, you know, joy and curiosity. So my background, I actually got started in material science, mm-hmm. and I had the good fortune to get to intern at the Harvard Mineralogical Museum,
wow.
which Harvard has some of the most amazing, vast collections, and it just opened my eyes to a whole world that I had no idea existed. You know, I loved museums as a kid, but I never realized how much was behind the scenes, mm-hmm. what goes into producing an exhibit, all of the research, and that whole world just sparked my complete curiosity and enthusiasm. Right. So I've gotten to spend my whole career in science museums. And I actually got to preview U of A before I came back as the director. I had the great pleasure of working with Dr. Bob Downs mm-hmm. when he was the curator of the collection back when it was in the basement of the Flandres.
I remember that.
And my job was to help him get a first kind of plan in place mm-hmm. to inventory and store the collection. So I got to see the museum when it was tucked away and not showing itself to its best ability. So the opportunity to come back in our beautiful new space and really see how this collection can be and the university's work can be shown off to the public and just bring so much excitement to people. It's been so wonderful to come back and get to experience it in this whole new way.
Well, I just have to say, it's just a bunch of rocks. So it really, you know, why is it so important? And the reason I say that is that I think back to my own family and I have three boys. Matter of fact, coming up here, my youngest is going to be 29, so they're 39, 31, and 29, and they're all three boys, and we still have collections of rocks in our house from when, you know, they would be either on a beach or they would be out in the desert, wherever, and they would pick up these rocks, and they would be so precious to them as little mm-hmm. guys, and now we have some grandsons that have the same experience that, you know, finding that perfect rock is how important it is, and it's amazing how the Earth has gifted us, and outer space has gifted us so many fantastic gems. And then you go to, of course, the Gem and Mineral Show, which is pretty amazing. So the Gem and Mineral Museum is named after Alfie Norville. Tell us a little bit about Alan and Alfie and when you moved to the new facility. Why was it named after Alfie?
Yeah, so as you can imagine, the building out an entirely new building, new exhibits, we're so lucky to have state-of-the-art exhibitry, lighting, storage, that's not an easy endeavor. So the Norvilles were really our banner supporters who believed in the idea that this little tiny space in Flandreau could be something so much more. Mm-hmm. So they really kind of started us on our journey and are our lead fundraisers, shall we say, or our lead supporters. And we're so proud to bear Alfie's name specifically. She was instrumental in getting the gem and jewelry exchange, which some of you can see it from the freeway, the giant tent mm-hmm. in January and February. She was instrumental in getting that show in Tucson, and that is one of the biggest gem shows in the world. Mm-hmm. So she just loved the city, wanted something special, and unfortunately she passed away in 2015, so she never got to see the new museum.
Right.
But we're so proud to carry on that tradition of highlighting Tucson's special role in the gem and mineral world and to share that with the whole city.
You know, Mr. Norville owns some properties here in town, a hotel that we frequent, one of our clients, and we were actually housed there for 18 years. He has some beautiful specimens. Some of them are gigantic, some beautiful specimens that in and of themselves are literally art pieces in and of themselves when they're displayed the way they are. It's amazing. And the commitment that the Norvilles have given to the gem experience here in Tucson, you know, we're noted from all around the world to be the most exciting and biggest, largest gem show in the world.
In the world, yeah. So 3 weeks a year, I like to say we're the center of the world.
Yeah, and that's probably good for the museum too. I bet during that time there's a lot of people who are doing gems year round that like to come to the museum and see what you have and check out what's on display at that particular time.
Oh, absolutely. And we get to have a fun fringe benefit is that everyone brings all of their material here. So things that didn't sell or that they don't want to have to risk the shipment home, they love to loan us things. So we get some of the, you know, world-class, top-of-the-line materials here in Tucson, and the safest thing is for them to go on display and get shared with the public. So we're able to show things that are just, you know, like I said, a world-class scale, so really remarkable items, gems. So it's a good place to be a gem and mineral museum.
So we're talking to Violetta Wolf. She's the director of the Alfie Norville Gem and Mineral Museum at the University of Arizona. I was just laughing with Tyler a little bit ago that the Poetry Center is a hidden gem. The Alfie Norville Gem and Mineral Museum is not so much hidden anymore. It's not a hidden gem, but it is a beautiful gem on the campus of the University of Arizona.
We're actually not on campus.
Not on campus. You're down. Yep. I'm as part of the University of Arizona.
Yeah, and we're in a jewel of a building.
Jewel of a building. Yep. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. And how do people get to the museum and where do they go and how do they access all the good things that are going on there?
Sure. So we're located in the Pima County Historic Courthouse, which
beautifully redone.
Beautifully redone. Yeah. That's also where the Southern Arizona Visitor Center is.
Correct.
There's a beautiful outdoor courtyard, so it's a really nice place to spend.
And don't
they
play like bocce ball or something on the lawn on Thursday nights? And that kind of?
Thursdays there's kids activities during the day. Friday there's live music. So and there's also all the great food spots downtown.
Mm-hmm. So it's an experience when you go to the museum. You can see some other things that are kind of fun and exciting down there as
It's a great way to see everything that's special about Tucson and kind of just round out your afternoon. Our closest parking is the El Presidio Garage. You can also, there's street parking if you're brave, and we're right on the Sunlink stop, so we're accessible by public transit as well.
Well, that parking garage is right underneath the plaza there, and you come right up the elevator and boom, you're right there. And it's maybe 15, 20 yards away from the entrance of the place, and it's a beautiful. And if you haven't seen the revitalized courthouse and the restoration of it, it is amazing what they did with it.
It's beautiful,
absolutely beautiful. It's a 19th century building that's in the 22nd century. It's amazing how they did both things at the same time. So, and it's a good flagship for the Gem and Mineral Museum because people affiliate that with the University of Arizona, but also with the community at large. Well, we'll talk a little bit more after the break about something out of this world that is on display at the museum now and talk about how it got here, how it got to Tucson and its journey over the course of some say many billions of years to get to that museum and it's worth going to see. We're talking with Violetta Wolf. She's the director of the Alfie Norville Gem and Mineral Museum, which is located downtown in the beautiful restored Pima County Court Building, I guess it's called. Is that what it's called?
Historic
Courthouse. Yeah. So we'll talk when we come back about an interesting item that's on display there that you're gonna want to see. It's kind of befitting that it's here in Tucson, and we'll talk about how the U of A is involved in that. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. We'll be back in just a minute with some more about the Gem and Mineral Museum. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is the Monday version of Wonder, where we celebrate the good things happening at the University of Arizona and alumni. And sitting with us today is somebody that I know. Giovanni Diaz is sitting across the table from me. Good morning, Giovanni.
Good morning. It's great being here. Thank you for inviting me, Dr. Ackerley.
Giovanni is one of my former students, and he has assisted me in my run for mayor and helped me with a lot of activities. And I was talking to him the other day at an event and said, why don't you sit in with us on Friday and Monday? And every time I'm on, you're welcome to come in anytime I'm doing a show. So welcome to this Monday morning and being here with us.
Thank you.
So our guest this morning is Violetta Wolf. She's the director of the Alfie Norville Gem and Mineral Museum located at the Historic Courthouse. Well, there's something really out of this world that's happening at the museum right now. I'll preface this by telling you that what I say is that a little trivia about the University of Arizona. For ever since NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, was created and has sent vehicles, people, and instruments into the sky, the University of Arizona has been involved in every single one of those missions that NASA has been involved in. Everything from mapping the backside of the moon to the lunar Mars mission that was coordinated out of the University of Arizona with Peter Smith, and all the things that have been happening lately that involve NASA, the University of Arizona is either part of or the lead on that. And so kudos to our space and aeronautics and astrophysics programs that are happening at the university. It continues to be an amazing thing. And something happened this past year. It actually was about a decade or two in the making, and will continue for another maybe two decades, is the fantastic human feat of going to an asteroid, getting a sample, and bringing it back to the Tucson. So tell us a little bit about the OSIRIS-REx project and the Bennu asteroid and what you have at the museum.
Sure. So we're so lucky we're one of the three places in the world that get to display a piece of the Bennu asteroid. And when you first see it, it looks like a little rock. And that maybe isn't the most exciting thing. But when you learn about how much went into going to get to this rock and what it can help us understand, it really is just it's probably the rarest thing we get to share with the public. We don't have anything else like it. It is so special and unique. So I think a lot of us followed the OSIRIS-REx mission. It started in 2016 with its launch and just returned to Earth in 2023. So really an epic journey. The asteroid itself is about 4 billion miles away from Earth. So it took 2 years for the probe to even get to the asteroid. It took another 2 years to map its surface and get a strategy to safely collect a piece of rock from it. And then another 2 years to get back. And basically, for something that no one has ever really done before, everything had to go perfectly right. Right? So just trying to imagine, those 6 years had to be perfect. And of course, nothing is ever perfect.
Right.
So the poor team had to deal with hurdle after hurdle, so many different surprises, problem solving every step of the way to bring this. It's about 1/4 pound of rock is what has come back to Earth.
Even funny, when they got it back, it was like a can of tuna without a can opener. Mm-hmm. They couldn't get the darn thing open, and they didn't want to open it up and expose it to the elements.
Of
they
course.
Had to do it in a unique way. It took them several weeks, if not months, to finally open it up. And once they did, then they got the spoils inside. Yeah,
yeah. Which the principal investigator, our very own Dante Loretta, everyone asked him, "Oh, were you stressed about not being open to get into the canister?" And I love that his response is, "Well, no, because it was on Earth. So you know what?
Right.
We can figure that out. A couple weeks to problem solve opening a canister.
Right.
My stress is
gone." Once we got it back to Earth,
it's back,
amazing.
You know, there was also a delay with the parachute. So
correct.
During the landing, I think that was probably the peak stress moment. So a little jammed canister, no problem.
And the beat goes on. It came back. It dropped its payload, and then they had a handoff. Dante handed it off to the next director, and the OSIRIS-REx is off on its own another trek to go to another asteroid out in the middle of 4 billion light years away, to go to another landing or another exercise. So just a continuation of the same thing. It's amazing how they were able to reuse the spacecraft and keep it going.
Yeah, and you know, everyone, for those of us who follow the story, it might seem like this is the end. They got the sample, it's done. But as you said, this is just the beginning. That the reason we, you know, NASA and all of these teams go through all of this effort is that this sample is so unique and special. So Bennu is about 4.5 billion years old, which is right around when we think our solar system formed.
Right.
So the surface of the Earth is nowhere near that old. This is material that we don't have access to any other way. And like I said, there's nothing else on Earth like it.
Right.
So this little 1/4 pound of small rocks and dust is so precious. And what scientists are hoping to understand is better how our planets formed, and why our planet Earth is special in both having water, life, that this is what we think Bennu was sort of a similar, it was a planet, or it wasn't a planet yet, but it was something that was on its way to form a planet like Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So we're basically looking at a snapshot of our own planet's history.
It's interesting, you know, as long as man has been on Earth, whatever you think that to be, whether it be 4,000 years or 4 billion years, however long you think it is, that geologists have been studying the rocks on Earth and looking back in time and kind of determining some of those answers of how long has the Earth been around and what was its transition from a rocky planet and a molten planet to a watery planet and now a life-sustaining vehicle for all of us that are on it. And so these little what seemingly little pebbles are going to be studied for hundreds of years as for the next century. People will be looking, scientists will be looking at this and determining just from this small sample, they'll be able to do a kind of a look back into the history of the universe and kind of at least of our solar system of still what was going on 4.5 billion years ago. It's an amazing thing to think about.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, it's so easy to, these stories are so fantastic, the engineering feats so amazing, it can almost feel like it's a movie or science fiction, but getting to actually see the sample with your own eyes and recognizing, oh, that looks like, you know, what's out on the A Mountain or that's something I've seen before, that it really makes it clear that, you know, Dante grew up in Tucson. He's had hundreds of students work on this project. There are students working with the sample now and helping to unlock those questions that it's something that we can touch and see.
And why are we here? And how come we're human? And how come we're here at this time in space? And how come our Earth is in the orbit that it is? And Mars is and Venus is, you know, atmospheres have all blown away and we're still here. And how come? And so answering all those questions of who are we and why are we so privileged to be living in the time and place? And those are some of the questions that the scientists hope to answer just by looking at this rock and these rocks and this dust that they have and molecularly. And it's kind of like a window back in time to kind of see how things happen. So how does someone go down to visit the museum and when are you open and is it free or do they have to pay or
we do charge admission. That's what allows us to put on these incredible exhibits and make sure that there's always something new for folks to see. We're open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 4. Our general admission is $15 with discounts for military, seniors, students, and fellow Wildcats.
Fantastic. Well worth seeing, again, something out of this world, the a small sample of the asteroid Bennu on display at the Alfie Norville Gem and Mineral Museum. That's a mouthful to say that four times fast. Alfie Norville Gem and Mineral Museum. I did it again. Mineral Museum at the historic courthouse downtown. So if you get a chance, you want to go see some of the good things that the University of Arizona is working on. Certainly this project is a powerful thing. Thank you for what you do for the community, and thank you for sharing the spoils of OSIRIS-REx with the folks here in Tucson. So this is Jump in Tucson. Thank you for listening today on Tucson's only live local news talk station, KVOI, 1030 AM, The Voice. If you're interested in getting your organization interviewed on Jump in Tucson's Friday show and share your success story, go to jumpintucson.com and let us know a little bit about you and your story, and maybe you'll be live on the air with Dr. Ed Ackerley or one of our other guests. Thank you so much for being with us today, Violetta. Thank you, Yovani, for being here, and Bill. That's Jump in Tucson for this wonderful Monday morning, and we'll see you back again here on Friday.